You know where your business would be without you. Imagine where it could go with more of you. Well, with Wix, you can create a website with more of your vision, your voice, your expertise. Wix gives you the freedom to truly own your brand and do it on your own, with full customization and advanced AI tools that help turn your ideas into reality. Scale up without being held back by cookie-cutter solutions and grow your business into your online brand. Because without you, your business is just business as usual. Take control. Go to Wix.com.
Colon cancer is considered one of the most preventable but least prevented cancers. That's why screening for colon cancer is critical. Sometimes people want to avoid the drama of screening with a colonoscopy. You know, the prep, the downtime, all of it. Thankfully, there's the Cologuard test, a non-invasive screening option for adults 45 and older at average risk that is delivered right to your door. Early detection is critical. When caught early, colon cancer is survivable in 90% of the cases. With the Cologuard test, the process is simple. The test is delivered to your door, you send the sample back to the lab, and get results within 2 weeks. The best part? The Cologuard test is covered by most insurance plans. The Cologuard test is intended to screen adults 45 and older at average risk for colorectal cancer. Ask your healthcare provider about screening with Cologuard. Cologuard is available by prescription only. Visit Cologuard.com to learn more.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Fergal O'Rourke is with me now, though. Fergal is the chair of the IDA. And today they launched their new strategy. The strategy will focus on winning, strengthening and maintaining long-term investment with existing and a new client base, apparently. Fergal is with me. Fergal, thanks a million.
Not at all.
For coming in to us. To what extent is this strategy, and we'll talk about the detail of it in a moment, to what extent is it kind of put together in the context of a Trump presidency and talk of kind of tariffs and trade wars?
If it was only put up against Trump, if that was the only cloud on the horizon, we'd be in great shape. There's an awful lot more happening out there that makes it quite a tumultuous time at the moment. Artificial intelligence and the impact it'll have, digital skills, wars, impact on supply chains. Foreign direct investment globally has slowed down in recent years because globalization has fallen away a bit as some countries have got more protectionist. There are countries in the Middle East who now realize foreign direct investment's great. Let's offer millions to companies to go and operate in the Middle East. There are a myriad of challenges like that. And we've got a new Trump administration, which is talking about tariffs and trade. So the landscape at the moment is quite tumultuous. And that's the glass half empty. But if I look on the positive side, the glass half full, we're probably in better shape than any economy in Europe to deal with this. We have at the moment, as you know, over 300,000 people directly employed by foreign direct investment. Mm. The same again, indirectly employed. Fantastic corporate tax receipts, record corporate tax receipts from them. The minister at the launch today talked about the rainy day fund we've put away from this. And even in the last month alone at board level, the number of what I'd call transformational investments that are crossing our desks now, where it involves AI or digital skills or research and development. You know, there's no doubt the next year will be uncertain, but we are coming in from a position of great strength. And that strategy is, I suppose, put together against not just the backdrop of the new administration in the US, but all those changes that I talked about earlier.
So when you talk about attracting new clients and we talk about attracting new inward investment, The transatlantic relationship is the one that gets all of the attention. And the idea of working in other markets and continue to do so. To what extent will the show focus, do you suspect, shift to those markets?
It will in part, but like the US is still the 800-pound gorilla in the room. Okay. It's where all the global companies come from. And of the 300,000 people employed by foreign direct investment company, about 210,000 are from US companies. But 10% of our inward investment comes from Asia-Pac. And a lot of the rest comes from mainland Europe. I still think no matter what happens, because of the global nature of US companies and they've been at it for so long. Don't forget Ford established here nearly 100 years ago in its day. I think they're the most advanced economy in terms of outward expansion, more so than Asia-Pac. So do I think we'll start ignoring the US or placing less emphasis on it? No. But recognizing that in Asia Pac now, over the coming years, we will see more outward investment from them. And, you know, Ireland wants to position itself as the gateway into Europe for those companies.
Well, it's a difficult job kind of trying to understand what Donald Trump's motives might be at any given moment. And that's part of the MO, you know, and he would say that. Sometimes he says one thing because he wants something else. We see that with talk of tariffs in Mexico and Canada. It was really about border security and renegotiating NAFTA in the coming months, their own free trade agreement. He's talking now again about tariffs between the European Union and the United States, and he's looking for reciprocity. And they talk about trade deficits and surpluses as well. And from an Irish point of view, how concerned does that make you? As a country, we're always going to have a different kind of a massive trade deficit when compared to the United States. There's a market of 5 million compared to a market of 300. They're always going to buy more products from here than we're going to buy from there.
Yes, but at the moment we have a surplus with them. It's the other way around.
Sorry, it's always going to be that surplus.
It is. And am I worried? Well, let's put it in context first. Ireland last year exported between goods and services about 430 billion euro. About 40 billion of that is pharmaceuticals, where the president has explicitly called it out, pharmaceuticals sold back into the US. So it's less than 10% of our overall export area. So am I concerned about it? Absolutely. Ireland's a country that wants an open, rules-based trade system. Anything that hampers that by tariffs, we need to be concerned about. But in context, it's a difficulty we're going to have to manage our way through, but the sky isn't going to fall in. And one thing that gave me a little bit of hope there was in the last 24 hours, where the president said, after he talked about tariffs and pharmaceuticals, he said something like, but we're going to have to give time to some of these companies to adjust their affairs. Because realistically, if you take the farm industry, highly regulated, huge capital intensity, companies can't just pick up their plant and from Kilkenny or wherever and walk back to America with this and put it down.
Yeah.
So there's a recognition, and I suppose the help of it for Ireland is that these US pharma companies are going to be saying this to President Trump, saying, look, Ireland works for us. It works for our share price. It works for the economy. Mm. And when I talked about 40 billion of pharma going back to the US, about 85% of that is intermediary goods. So they go through some further process in the US. So we're part of that overall supply chain. So we're going to have to monitor it. We're going to have to monitor it very carefully. The Patrick's Day trade missions will become even more important, that Ireland's messages are getting across there. But ultimately, the president is a deal maker. And, you know, I suspect he's laying down the groundwork for some EU, US big grand bargain sometime in 2025.
Yeah, and we hope that is the case. And, you know, we hope the likes of Abbott, as you say, have just opened a big plant in Kilkenny, don't kind of up sticks and move overnight, be a huge blow. But is the greater threat, and you described, you know, the US economy is the 800-pound gorilla, to an extent you could kind of use the same description of Donald Trump, sucks up all the attention. Is the greater threat more what he represents, that those economic trade winds now are blowing in a more kind of protectionist direction overall?
Yeah, that's a fair analysis. And I think certainly over the last, I mean, if you think back to the early part of this century, and there was NAFTA and there was globalization was the real buzzword. There's no doubt over the last 7, 8, 10 years, globalization has retreated. And I think the rationale for that is, while overall it was a net plus, there were winners and losers. And in some countries, the losers' voices were translated into the election of various candidates. So I think the world now is more nationalistic or protectionist as it was before. And we're going to have to roll with that. But Ireland's rolled with that before. I mean, the idea is, in its 76th year of being, we've had depressions, boom years. You know, this is part of the natural ebb and flow of trading circumstances we're going to have to deal with as a nation.
To what extent is our domestic issues a limiting factor in terms of inward investment? And what I mean is a lack of housing and being at full employment, which is it's a good problem to have, but it's a problem nonetheless.
Oh, no, it is. Though it's a problem of success. I mean, when I joined the workforce in 1986, Ireland looked a hell of a lot different. And there's no doubt there's parts of our infrastructure. But these are social issues as much as economic issues. So whether it's housing, investment in the grid, offshore energy, water. You know, we've talked for many, many, many years about bringing Shannon Water up to Dublin. Still hasn't happened. This government with no election in sight over the next few years, have a fantastic opportunity now. The plans are in place. And if we, I've said a number of times recently that the biggest risk Ireland faces is not a new administration in the US. It's executing on the plans we have for housing, grid, water, electricity, offshore, renewable energy. If we get those right, we could enter a new golden era in the 2030s, because we can now, nobody be talking about data centres and their usage. Nobody be talking about other large energy users. We'll have a surplus of electricity if all goes well.
Yeah.
We'll be building hopefully 90,000 houses. So that is the risk at the moment. We're seeing some of the problems of success where in parts our infrastructure is creaking a bit. I think the election highlighted all the parties and all participants saying we got to spend and spend quickly and wisely on infrastructure.
Were you encouraged by that? Because there's always a political tendency, and listen, you're from a political family, so you'll know this, to want to invest in the big shiny thing that you can stand beside and cut a ribbon at. But you're right. I mean, most of the main political parties and many of the independents as well acknowledge that the Apple tax money, for example, a lot of that was going to have to go into the ground, as it were.
Correct. And it's not, I suppose, sexy to fix water pipes to eliminate unaccounted for water in areas like that. But right across the political spectrum, I think there's a recognition that, you know, we've got to a point. And if you believe the CSO projections, we could be a country of 6.3 to 6.7 million people in the next 20 years. We recognise that we've got no choice. We've got to invest in infrastructure.
When you imagine then Ireland in 2030, where is the big global market for growth at that point?
Yeah, it's interesting. And I made reference earlier, and Michael Lohan, our chief executive, talks a lot about transformational investments. And, you know, if I go back when I was growing up as a kid, Gentex was a textile manufacturer in Athlone. It was the big employer in Athlone. And then when we joined the European Union, just textiles manufacturing went away. And then we were in low-grade manufacturing in the 80s, and that's gone away. But if we've consistently adapted as a country. Mm. We're now doing high-value manufacturing. And again, as I mentioned earlier, where we see some of the transformational investments that announced by people like IBM and Microsoft here, around artificial intelligence, around digital skills. A lot of it will be around moving the Irish economy along in the same way as we moved from the 70s to the 80s, the 80s to the 90s. It's moving up that value chain again and making sure. And one of the targets we have put in our, it's not just about creating 75,000 new jobs over the next 5 years or 1,000 new investments. We're looking to upskill 40,000 people.
Because I'm about to ask that, to what extent are you mindful of the type of jobs we're creating, or that we're creating the right graduates that can fill those jobs?
Yeah, and you mentioned shiny new things. Or it's not always just about shiny new announcements. It is about creating new employment, maintaining it and strengthening it. And that bit of, you know, when the board and the executive are going through the strategy formulation over the last 12 months, we talked a lot about making sure that people were upskilled for the types of work that employers would be needing. And that'll be a huge part of the next 5 years. You know, every other plan we'd have brought in, we'd have talked about employment creation and also regional development. But added on to those two areas this time is upskilling of people and trying to put a figure on investment in research and development. We're hoping that we'll hit a figure of 750 million euro invested by companies in research, development, and innovation, because that's where the next frontier will be for Ireland.
All right. Well, listen, the detail of that 5-year plan is available. It's on the IDA's website if you want to have a perusal.
And can I just call out, I've been chairman for 13 months of the IDA, and it is the most wonderful organisation. And every one of our nearly 400 people contributed in part. This is their strategy, as well as talking to a lot of stakeholders. But I couldn't be prouder of chairing an organisation like this, where everybody really puts on their green jersey every day and goes to work.
Yeah, well, listen, they're all to be commended for it. Fergal O'Rourke is chair of IDA Ireland. Fergal, listen, thanks a million.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.
You know where your business would be without you. Imagine where it could go with more of you. Well, with Wix, you can create a website with more of your vision, your voice, your expertise. Wix gives you the freedom to truly own your brand and do it on your own, with full customization and advanced AI tools that help turn your ideas into reality. Scale up without being held back by cookie-cutter solutions and grow your business into your online brand. Because without you, your business is just business as usual. Take control. Go to Wix.com.